More of Lake Effect Now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Summer is a time for a lot of us to catch up on some reading, even those of us who often have to read books for a living.
For those of us whose tastes extend beyond the bestseller lists, Daniel Golden is here to offer some suggestions. He is the proprietor of Milwaukee's Boswell Book Company. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for stopping by.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So you have a big stack of books on the table in front of you, as you often do when you come to visit. And these are all books that we're sort of categorizing as good summer reads. Let's start with a kid's read and or a young adult read. And this is actually something that I believe your colleague mentioned on the air a few months ago.
Yes, I want everybody to know that I listen to everybody's advice. And I do get to read kids' books, not as many as I'd like, of course. But it, in fact, Amy, our kids' buyer, this has been one of the books that she's been hot on, came out in May. You know, it's one of those things, if I go listen to people talk about a book enough and it hits me, I want to read it too. And I, so the book in question is Orphan Island by Laurel Snyder. It is, I would say, officially 8 and up. I think it's such an odd book that it could creep higher than their top edge, though, honestly, we see so many adults reading kids' books that the top level of those kids' books doesn't mean anything.
But I think in terms, it sounds like, I have not yet read it, yeah. But from what I gather, it does not necessarily tie itself up into a neat bow at the end, which might be difficult for some of the youngest readers to appreciate.
Oh, yes. That's one of the things I really love about the book. And it is my feeling that actually it might bother more adults than kids. So it's about, it's Orphan Island. So there's 9 kids, and they are in this sort of flux time. The story opens with a green boat coming into the harbor with a very young child on it. The child gets off. They welcome the kid. He goes to one of the children, and the oldest child, who is the elder, gets in the boat as per custom, and the boat takes him away into the distance. And the second oldest kid becomes the new elder. And the little baby, in this case a girl, becomes her charge, and she has to teach the baby to do some things and over the next year, and also lead the group and also not break various rules. And if they don't break the rules, they catch their fish and the plants grow right. But if they break a rule, like they pick the last plant, there are no more plants anymore, you know, of that kind.
So it's like a metaphor for society.
It's a metaphor for – it's just there's so many metaphors in this book. I'm just like – but it's so much fun. And I call it Lost for Kids. It is got that sort of like, I don't know what's going on. And as you're reading the book, you think of all these ideas. So the new kid, Ginny, she's the new elder. And the problem is she's having trouble teaching. She's going through changes in her life. She's being distracted. And she thinks maybe she doesn't want to go. And that's all I'm going to say about it, except you can't not talk about the book afterwards. You really want other people to read it. We talked to at least one adult who could not stand it. But there's clearly many people who love this book. So
that is Laurel Snyder's Orphan Island, which when we talked to Amy, the book was not yet out. The book is out now.
It's out now. And mm-hmm. Hit our bestseller list 1 week. So
outstanding. All right. So let's jump around to something by a writer named Finn Murphy called The Long Haul, which is directly in front of you. It's interesting. I'm looking at two books and I see a trend in cover design.
There's a little, yes, there is. There's a number of things going on. So this is sort of got, they both, Long Haul has sort of takes the road and the fields it's going through and turns it into stripes. This is a memoir about trucking. And just as an aside, this kind of washed out, muddy brown look is very popular in covers nowadays. It doesn't seem like a pretty cover. You don't think that people would buy clothes in this color, for example. I might. And one other thing that's hot are these sort of subculture memoirs. And whereas I learned about Orphan Island from Amy, this was a pick from Jason, our adult buyer. One of the things Jason did this year, which was really exciting, was he was on the Indies Introduced panel. And that is a group of booksellers, I think around 10, who pick first books, not even first novels. It's first book, adult and kids. There's two panels, actually, and that booksellers around the country are going to promote to sort of help break them out. And what that did is that led him to read a lot of books. He's always a fast reader, but he really read out of his comfort zone. And this is one of the books he couldn't stop talking about. It is a trucker, but a special kind of trucker, a long-haul mover. And those are the people who take your stuff and to California. Finn Murphy is an excellent mover. One of the things you learn is movers are low truckers on the totem pole. The other truckers don't want anything to do with them. They ridicule them. If you go into a truck stop, you probably can't sit at the counter with them. And even though often the long-haul movers make more money, but it's considered, I don't know, it's not tough enough. And he's been doing this a long time. He actually dropped out of college then gave up for a while and then went back. And he tells you it's sort of a philosophical book. It's a political book. He looks at the changes in the business, why it becomes sort of a variation on hillbilly elegy or white trash, because he talks about why it's so hard to find the traditional people who are doing the long haul moving who don't want to do it anymore. There's lots of crazy stories. You hate a lot of people, but you also love people. I mean, the other thing about long-haul movers is, like, we completely vilify them. You know, if your cousin's sister's dentist babysitter's mother had something go wrong with their move, the entire industry is at fault. And we don't think about that with other people. I mean, you know, someone has a botched gallbladder operation and we don't vilify all doctors. After this book, you'll see kind of the things they go through. I love subculture. I love the special language. And he's got a really great voice. He's a terrific writer, too.
So that's The Long Haul by Finn Murphy. And let's jump around a little bit.
Okay.
This one is not out yet, but it will be out midsummer. Let's talk about Tom Perata's new novel, Mrs. Fletcher, which I will say I am partway through, and it makes me a little antsy.
Isn't it so uncomfortable? I mean, this is the thing that I love about Tom Perata. I have read everything, oddly enough, but one book. You have to save one for, like, you know, a really bad, something bad happened to you. You're like, well, at least I've got a Tom Perata.
Well, and for people who are not familiar with Tom Perata, he wrote The Wishbones. He wrote Election, which—
So several things that became movies. So Election, which was the a big film. Little Children, which I think got an Academy Award nomination at least. And The Latecomers. Cable series.
Right. The
Leftovers. Yep. My gosh. The first season is based on the novel,
right,
and then the next two seasons aren't. But he did work on the show as well as write the screenplay for at least Election. So his books always they're suburban life generally, but they're always make you a little uncomfortable. He has dealt with sex before in Little Children. He was dealing a lot with religion, and this is definitely back to sex. It's about basically the story of a divorced mom and her son dealing with the new world of sexual freedom and sexual taboo. And basically, he is a classic. The boy is a classic Tom Perata bro. If you've read his books before, you might know the bro from Election or Little Children. And he goes to school and learns the true, you know, the state of sexual politics, which I guess was not really there in high school. And then his mom becomes a little obsessed with online porn.
No two ways about that.
It is so funny. It is so smart. And boy, it is uncomfortable. And I loved it. I loved being uncomfortable.
I know you are a huge fan of Don Lee. We should mention Don Lee's latest. He was just here, right?
He was. And I love him so much. And this was a case like Tom Perata, I'm still working on. Tom Perata, I just met him for the first time. So maybe another time he'll come to Milwaukee. But Don Lee, I've been crazy about him since his first short story collection, Yellow, which was about Asian Americans of all kinds, very funny, set in a town called Rosarita Bay. Everything I love about short stories, like funny, smart, interconnected, Controversial a little. Then he's written a thriller. He's written a sort of art novel, college novel. And then he wrote one of my favorite novels of all times, Rack and Rune, which is also set in Rosarita Bay, as is this. They're companion novels. He writes about cultural identity. He writes about artistic identity. He writes about family identity. And in this book, he writes a little about class identity too. So it's about a failed alt-country singer, a songwriter, was in North Carolina, about to make it. Very talented guy, had a partner. Of course, he was in love with her. He had a few problems. He had stage fright. He was a little too chunky. He was Korean. So, it's just sometimes not so easy in the alt-country world. So he doesn't make it. He runs out on it, and he decamps back to California, where he becomes a carpet installer. He has a girlfriend. She runs the company. Her father runs the company. But he has that creative urge, and he sees the woman he dumped, who completely sold out and became a commercial country singer and then an actress, and she's at the resort where he's installing carpet, and he thinks this might be his last chance. But the problem is he also has Meniere's disease now, so he's losing his hearing. It's once again so great. I love – this is such an interesting thing to me because he writes about cultural identity, but in this case, he writes about it by not writing about it. There's no physical descriptions of anybody. You can catch some sort of ethnicities by their last names, and sometimes you don't even know what he was thinking of. But let me just say that it's a very diverse cast. I
completely want to read this book now.
Oh, my God. I brought a copy for you if you didn't have one.
I do not have one. We'll leave that part out.
It's a really – the other thing is I read a lot of music novels, and let me just say that some of them don't get it. And I can't say any of them because booksellers only say nice things. But this guy really understands music and creativity. And a lot of times writers use music and art and theater sort of as metaphors for the writing life. But in this case, I think it goes beyond metaphor. He actually worked with a guy, Will Johnson, singer, songwriter, from Austin, I believe, who does play in Milwaukee, Shank Hall and The Rave and living room shows. And he actually wrote the lyrics in the book. And because sometimes writers get trashed for writing really crappy lyrics. I'm saying, Visit from the Goon Squad. I mean, there are plenty of really great music novels, but there are also some really bad ones. But this is – it's just – I don't know. I just want to – like there's some books where I just read the books and sigh and hug them. This guy's a pain, a bit of a pain. But he's not like an unlikable – he's not an anti-hero. That's another list of books.
All right. So that was Don Lee's latest book. Let's jump to something different. Hunger, Roxane Gay.
Well, this is a book that I've read two Roxane Gay books before, and I'm very interested. I've read actually books before about weight, and I think I used to say this like 25 years ago, that weight was the one prejudice that you could have in society without any repercussions. And I think that's really changing now with Lindy West and, other Samantha Irby, a lot of people speaking up more about it, and certainly Roxane Gay. The thing about this book, it's fragmentary. And some of the pieces, it all runs together, but it's all about body image and comfort with it and discomfort with it and the terrible incident that led to her not having a weight problem to having a weight problem or not a problem, but putting on the weight to sort of protect herself. I mean, she was in a brutal sexual assault. And when she was very young and did not tell her family, in fact, her family did not know until Bad Feminist came out. She's a really great writer. She's very smart. I can't say that there's a lot of really happy essays, unlike Bad Feminist, but she does really love her some Ina Garten.
All right. So we're a little time limited. Let's do some quick hits on these last handful of books that you have along, just because we should mention them, starting with Adriana Trigiani.
Well, this is – I think this is truly a summer read, and it is a big, sprawling – family novel, kind of with a romance at its center, a bit of a comedy, historical, very old-fashioned, set in Philadelphia.
It's called Kiss Carlo.
Kiss Carlo. All of Adriana Trigiani's books have... not all of them. Many of them have, like, family businesses at the center. This is about two competing cab companies who have two brothers who've split, and the sort of the nephew who's beloved by all who doesn't really want to work for either of them. He wants to be an actor at the theater company. She's coming to the Wilson Center on June 12th. It's our first collaborative event.
July 12th.
Collaborative event with Books & Company in Oconomowoc and the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts. So we're hoping it goes really well. We hear from Waukesha County that they would like us to do more programming there. And I have to say, she's a winner. She's so much fun. She's everybody's best friend. She's a performer, and it's going to be really great. So... And I like the book. It's 522 pages, but I read it all.
Okay. How about one that you were reading as you walked in the door today, The Ready-Made Thief?
Yes. I looked at this list and said, I do not have a thriller. And I read some thrillers. I read a few in the spring. I read a few in the fall, coming out in the fall, but I didn't have something for summer. Augustus Rose is a first-time novelist. He teaches at the University of Chicago. So it's definitely a literary thriller, and it is about a young woman who has basically been on the streets, sort of kicked out of her family, and finds herself falling into this weird organization that may be destroying the minds of young kids. She's on the run from them. It seems to have to do with Marcel Duchamp. And let me just say that there's almost a speculative element in it. It's definitely like Da Vinci Code in two levels. It's a puzzle novel, and the artist's work is very, very important to the book. This is another book that's on the Indies introduced. There's tons of bookseller recommendations around the country. Jason, love the book. I think we've had 5 people read it in the store. I haven't seen comparisons to it, but The Eight is one of the books that people have compared it to a lot. I thought Shadow of the Wind would probably be one. I haven't seen that yet, so I'll have to find out. But definitely they've also said Rule of Four has been one that's come up a lot. You know if you're that kind of person, and I hope you are, because it's a really fun summer read. It comes out also August 1st, so...
All right. It's a great list. We will have it on our website. Daniel Golden, thank you as always.
Oh, thank you as well.
Daniel Golden is the owner of Milwaukee's Boswell Book Company. You'll find his full list of summer reads at WUWM.com.